It's time now for the Perspectives on the Power of We, presented in partnership with Blue Cross Blue Shield of Tennessee and the Urban League of Greater Chattanooga. Host Ron Harris and Warren E. Logan Jr., WMPZ Groove 93, Harrison, Chattanooga, a Brewer Media station.
The following is a paid program. The views and opinions expressed by today's guests do not necessarily reflect the views of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Tennessee, the Urban League of Greater Chattanooga, or any of its employees and the Brewer Media Group.
Hello, everybody. This is Donna L., and I have some amazing people in the studio, Mr. Ron Harris and Mr. Warren E. Logan Jr., and they are joining me again for another episode of Perspectives on the Power of We, a special limited series sponsored by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Tennessee in partnership with the Urban League of Chattanooga. Good morning, fellas. How are you all doing today?
We're doing great. How are you doing, Donna?
Doing good. How good. You doing, Mr. Logan?
I'm great. Good to see you again, Donna. Thank you for hosting us.
All right. Now, so you know we're going to take a deep dive right into the conversation. In case you don't know, if you've been under a rock or something, Mr. Ron Harris, he's a vice president of diversity and inclusion at Blue Cross Blue Shield of Tennessee. And Mr. Warren E. Logan Jr., he is the president and chief executive officer of the Urban League of Greater Chattanooga. So we're just going to take a dive into the first question. The first episode of Perspectives on the Power of We focused on the importance of voting and what folks can expect at the polls. First, tell me, how do you feel now that you've had your first episode up under your belt?
Well, first of all, let me talk about what's really important at this very moment. And that's a big shout out and congratulations to you, Donna, on your well-deserved recognition in the HealthScope magazine. Congratulations to you. And now your question about getting the first episode under our belt. You know, the whole purpose of this program is really to provide and engage our community with valuable information on a variety of subjects. And nothing could be more important right now than voting. And so Secretary Hargett and our Senior Vice President of Federal Affairs, Dekasha Winton, I thought they provided some great insight about dates and times, relevance, and how important it is, particularly during this election, not only at the federal level, but at the local level as well. I'll probably never be a radio personality, but more importantly, it's the information that's being shared. So thank you.
We appreciate you guys taking the time to do this show and this series. So the first episode is up under you guys' belt, Mr. Logan. How did it make you feel?
Well, I felt great for two reasons. Number one, let me just detail what Ron said. Your recognition, well-deserved.
Thank you,
and,
Mr. Logan.
And hopefully more will be coming down the line regarding that. But, you know, from the standpoint of the first episode, I thought it went over real well. We had people that were basically calling and talking to us, giving comments regarding the show from the standpoint of saying things like, oh, I didn't know that, or I didn't know this, and so forth and so on. And when they commented like that, what that meant to us was that they were getting it. They understood it was just not a one-day affair, per se, that voting has all kinds of implications for our lives on a day-to-day basis. So as far as the first episode, we felt that it did what it was intended to do.
That's right. So, you know, we talked about the first episode, and Mr. Harris, you mentioned, of course, Tennessee Secretary of State Trey Hargett. You know, he joined us for the program, and he mentioned the importance of having a plan for voting this year. The polls, early election has officially started, and can you all talk about what your plans are, and did you vote early, or are you planning to vote on November 3rd?
Well, I plan to vote early. As a matter of fact, I understand that nationally there have been millions of people, about 14, 15 million people who've already voted. I plan on being a part of that number. But the most important thing is I plan to vote, whether that's early or on November the 3rd. I think I've developed a motto for myself, regardless of how long the lines are, stay on the line. Stay on the line. It's just that important.
People are talking about how long the lines are, but you know what I love is that's a good thing.
Yes,
that the lines are long.
Absolutely.
Because it could be empty.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
What's your plans, Mr. Logan?
One of the things, I plan to vote early, and we haven't had this kind of excitement in an election since President Obama was elected. And irrespective of what's triggering that or driving that, still a good thing to have this. What it says is I've been paying enough attention to to know that I need to get out there and vote for somebody. So we're just so elated that the message is getting out and that the people are reacting to it, and the lines basically indicate that from the standpoint of the number of people that are having to stay in line 30, 45, an hour or so forth. And people are indicating when they are asked, they're indicating we're going to stay as long as it's necessary to make sure that our vote gets counted.
Yes.
Definitely. This is something that's very important and very vital. And is this going to be the premise of the show? Is this what the show is going to look like for the next couple of weeks? Or, you know, the next episode after this, it will not be about voting. So how are you going to continue to empower our community?
Well, to a large extent, you can't have voting as an issue. So, but what you can do is keep driving the issue, because once this message gets out, if we keep reiterating it to the public, then people will say, well, this is not the presidential election. This is not just the royal election. This is affecting every aspect of my life, every aspect of my children's life, every aspect of life, period, you know, just to show how important the vote is and the weight that person will carry once they get into that particular office that they're running.
All right.
I couldn't agree more, Warren. And not only that, once those elections are over, we have a responsibility. We have a duty to hold our elected officials accountable.
Absolutely.
And I think we need to continue that conversation as well.
Absolutely.
All right. What I love is that we're going to actually have pastors from around Chattanooga to talk about the role of the church in voting, how the church plays a part in motivating and inspiring community members to head to these polls. And it is a virtual year. We have talked about being in the Zoom room. I love when you say that, Mr. Harris. This is a virtual year for voting, you know, for us to motivate even more because of COVID-19, we're not out there as much. But why is it important to bring these pastors and to talk about voting and the importance of it all?
Well, from my vantage point, and I think I agree with it, pastors are centers of influence in the community, whether it's the black community or the white community or whatever. They happen to be probably more of a center of influence in the black community than any other aspect of the community, because people look to pastors for issues regarding the education of their children. If, for example, a person is incarcerated, the pastor, if they need a recommendation, if they need a recommendation on who to vote for, all of these issues, they are going to the pastors. So they are phenomenal people, persons of influence in the community. So the pastors being able to reiterate this message over and over, not only this but other issues, it means a lot to the community standpoint.
You're absolutely right. And culturally, the church has always been the backbone of our community, where we can go for information and we can go for guidance and leadership. It's important that we turn to our pastors. They've always been there for us.
Right.
And so just as a people, it's central to who we are.
Mm-hmm. All right. Go ahead, Mr. Logan.
People have confidence.
Yeah.
You know, that's the reason why they keep going back to the pastors, because they have confidence. Honest with them, they're going to be straight with them, per se. So as a result of that, that's why people keep going back to the pastors, because most of the time what they have to say turns out to be true.
The perspectives on the power of we, and they can join us at least once a month to hear more. Don't go anywhere. We're going to have panel discussions and so much more. And we're talking to Mr. Ron Harris, the Vice President of Diversity and Inclusion at Blue Cross Blue Shield of Tennessee, and Mr. Warren E. Logan, Jr., President and Chief Executive Officer of the Urban League of Greater Chattanooga.
Now back to Perspectives on the Power of We with your host, Ron Harris, and Warren E. Logan, Jr., only on Groove 93.
Welcome back to the Perspectives on the Power of We. I'm Ronald Harris. I serve as Vice President of Workforce Diversity at Blue Cross Blue Shield of Tennessee, and I'm joined by Warren Logan, CEO and President of the Chattanooga Area Urban League. The show is sponsored by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Tennessee in partnership with the Urban League of Chattanooga. And we're joined by a group of local pastors to talk about the role of the church, very vital in our community, the role of the church in voting. And the panelists we have with us today are three distinguished pastors and ministers from around the area. Reverend Gary Hathaway of Greater Tucker Missionary Baptist Church, the Reverend Marcellus Barnes of Grace Point Church, and Reverend Chris Sands of Olivet Baptist Church. We hope they're ready because we're looking for an exciting opportunity to talk to them about the importance of voting. So I think I'll just jump right in. Is that okay with everybody?
Yes.
Historically, the emphasis on voting and civil rights has come from the church. So how do you see the role of the church right now? Gary, I'll start with you, Reverend Hathaway.
Okay, thank you very much there, Ron. Well, the role of the church is vitally important. To be honest with you, I don't think it's any less. I don't think it's any less than what we've seen throughout history. I just know it's a different time. So I think probably we have to do things a little bit differently. But the role of the church always is to teach the truth. And so we have to be truth tellers. And what we have to do, I believe, is to make sure that our people are aware of their civic duty and personal responsibility. So I think our role is probably more as a teacher or teaching role and facilitating role, where we will facilitate workshops, classes, education, everything to provide information, but also to make sure that people are taking advantage of that right to vote, motivating them to actually get out and vote as well.
Absolutely.
Yes,
Reverend Barnes.
Yes, sir. I think it's something interesting when you think about church. You have very professional, reasonable, rational individuals that enter into the doors. And sometimes I think we check our brains at the door and we make a separation between spiritual and practical responsibilities. Unfortunately, when we come to church, we hear words in Sunday school like righteousness, and that's a Sunday school term. But when we hear the word justice, we think political, but the word justice is actually a part of the foundation of God's throne, is justice and mercy. The Bible teaches us to do justice. And I think that the church has a responsibility of not separating ourselves from our civic, as Pastor Hathaway said, our civic responsibility when it comes to speaking truth to power as it relates to justice, life, family. And we have a responsibility to stand on God's truth. And I believe there's two sides. There's everybody else and there's God, and everybody else is wrong. And so we have a responsibility, as Dr. Evans would say, to stand up and lead this. I think more than ever, we need a moral compass to help lead and to speak on these issues that are not foreign to the Word of God.
Absolutely. That sounds like a sermon you preached somewhere, but I think it's absolutely right. Reverend Sands, would you like to weigh in on that question as well?
Yes, I actually echo the sentiments of both Pastor Hathaway and Pastor Barnes. They are absolutely correct. Historically, the church has been on the forefront of leading not just voting and things of justice, but also the church set the example as it pertains to what took place in culture a lot of times. And with that being said, Jesus' model, he always talked truth to power. To Pastor Barnes's point, he always spoke truth to power. And it's important that in today's time that we do that from the church perspective. Now is not the time for the church to be silent or quiet or sit on the sidelines. Now is the time for the church to take charge and continue to lead during these trials and times that we are in right now, these perilous times that we're in right now.
Thank you, Reverend Sand. I mean, you've given me a great segue as a follow-up. So how do you view your role as a pastor, and what are your responsibilities during an election?
That's a good question. So I will say this, for me, I believe in servanthood. Service is sovereignty. I'm really big on service. And why is that important? because the model that Jesus took was the heart of a servant. And with that being said, he was able to lead and reach people because of service. So as a pastor, I personally believe that it's through service that we'll be able to see the change that we need to see and things of that nature and actually lead like never before.
Okay, great. Pastor Barnes, same question. How do you view your role as a pastor, and what are your responsibilities during an election?
I would say my role and responsibility as a pastor is to first make sure that as I'm speaking and using my platform and my voice, that I'm constantly and consistently speaking through the lens of being what I would say a biblical Christian and not a cultural Christian. Yeah. I think that today there's so many cultural Christians, and we are lean more toward our political parties, our personal philosophies and ideologies, and we lose sight of biblical truth. And so as a pastor, I feel like it's my responsibility to make sure that when I'm teaching and preaching and speaking to my lay people, that I'm standing on, again, the word of God, and not being afraid to stand up for what the word of God says as it relates to some of these issues that are on the table. I really want to piggyback on Pastor Chris, because you know you're going to probably get into this a little later, Dr. Harris, but the world is tired of hearing the church talk. We do a lot of talking. We love to talk, and but there's very few people who are willing to get in the trenches and do the work. As a pastor, we have a responsibility during this election and even post the election to be the church and to really serve our communities in the way that our ancestors used to. You look at these hospitals, they were instituted by people of faith. Education, schools, all of those things, they didn't wait on the government to come and build the hospital. They did it themselves. And so I believe it's our responsibilities as the plague hit Rome, and that phrase we hear, run for the hills. People were running for the hills when the plague hit Rome, sort of like coronavirus. But it was the Christians that stayed for the people who couldn't make it up the hill to make sure that they were healed and taken care of. So it's our responsibility as a church to be the church. And what better time than this season we're in now?
Great. Pastor Hathaway?
Okay, yeah, thank you, Ron. Same thing, I agree with what has been said already. I view my role as a pastor primarily is to serve. That is so important. I'm to serve God through serving others. And I am responsible as a pastor for leading a church or a community. And so again, leadership is so important. And what comes with that is preparing our people, equipping our people. I think that's major as we talk about responsibilities during an election. I know the election is right upon us now, so this is great. I mean, I think what we're doing is awesome. But the real challenge, I believe, is probably during the course of the year, because this is a presidential election, high profile, but we have some more elections that may be just as important, if not more important for us, based on where we live in the community, mayoral, commission, or whatever. So again, I think we have to equip our people. Extremely, extremely important. And not only lead, or I have to do that, lead, equip, and then encourage. I think our people have to be encouraged. So often we come up with good plans, but we don't execute the plan. We don't carry out the plan. So I think that's a missing link. But again, my responsibility as a pastor is to lead, to speak boldly, to continue to encourage our people to get out and vote, and to vote for the candidate of your choice. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Well, let me reiterate and just say on behalf of the Urban League, I want to really thank you for carving out the time. I know that you're called upon a lot to carve out time for this and that and the other, but this is so important. And we're glad that you share with us in terms of the importance of this particular issue. of course, our thanks also is the Blue Cross Blue Shield, because they're stepping up to the plate. They don't look at it basically as a party issue. They look at it as a civic duty and responsibility. So we're really, on behalf of the Urban League and the community, we just appreciate Blue Cross Blue Shield and the things that they're bringing to the table. This question I have is to you, Dr. Hathaway. What are you hearing from your congregations? Are they getting a sense of whether or not, are you getting a sense of whether or not most members of your church are planning to vote? And as far as the election is concerned?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Warren. Well, probably like never before. I think this particular election, presidential election, this creates a lot of a high level of interest and a high level of participation. I do sense that our people, most of our people are actually probably early voting. If they're not early voting, a lot of them have already mailed in their ballots, and probably still some will vote on the election day. But there's so much division and so much hype that I think most people, fortunately, most of our people are tuned in. To be honest with you, they're ready to get it over. But yes, the answer to that question is yes.
Okay, great. Chris, you have an opportunity oftentimes at all of that to share. What kind of sense are you getting from the conversations that you are having with the members regarding whether or not they plan to vote? And, you know, it has been situations in many instances, people will say, oh, my vote doesn't count and so forth and so on. But what kind of sense are you getting now regarding people's plans, whether or not they plan to vote or just sit it out, as they say?
That's a good question. Pastor Hathaway summed it up very well. This is not only important, this is essential election during this particular time. And early voting already has proven, if we ever need a time to vote, it is absolutely now. The lines have been hours and hours long because we understand the importance of this particular vote. And a lot of members are making sure and ensuring that they go out to vote, because this is such an important election, not just what's going to happen for the next 4 years, but this particular vote dictates what happened over the next 40 years. So making sure that the members do what's necessary and things of that nature to get out and vote is absolutely necessary. So yes, they're voting.
Pastor Barnes, what about you? What kind of information or feedback are you getting regarding plans of your congregation to participate in this election process?
Well, I'll answer the second part of that question first, whether or not our members are planning to vote. And I will say, not only our members, but people that I'm coming across around the city, there is a strong buzz of people are really wanting to engage in this election. As far as what I'm hearing, the narrative is actually shifting a little bit when it comes to traditionally minorities voting for the Democratic Party. A lot of people are, what I'm hearing from a lot of people are, what are the plans for the minority? What are the plans for the Black community? I'm hearing a lot of people talk about how we consistently vote the same way in some cases, and we end up finding out that there's no strong plan for the community. It's interesting. You're hearing a lot of people that are speaking different than what they were prior years, and especially young people. This platinum plan that they're trying to come up with the administration, a lot of people are talking about that. Ice Cube has connected in some way with the president, and he's talking about the plan for the Black community. So I'm hearing a lot of different narratives within our community as it relates to what are the actual plans. I just don't want to vote. I want to know what the plan is for our communities. And so I thought that was interesting to see that narrative shift there.
That's interesting you said that, because it's a great segue into the next question. And since you recently had a birthday, and you've reached the old age of 39.
Yes, sir.
First of all, happy birthday. But secondly, is there a generational element to voting within your congregation? Is there a generational component to that? Are some of the age groups more active than in the voting process generationally? And see if you, I want you guys to answer that maybe in a sentence or two. Just what are you seeing generationally?
I would say that generationally, I'm actually seeing more young people stepping up and being engaged in more political matters now than I have before.
It's a good thing. How about you, Pastor Sands? Now, first of all, how old are you? How old are you, if you don't mind me asking that question?
I don't have a problem with it. I'm 37 years old.
Yeah, I got shirts older than you. But what would your answer be?
I echo the sentiments of Pastor Barnes. Young people are rising to the occasion like never before. They are literally their ancestors' wildest dreams.
Great. Pastor Hathaway?
I agree. What we're seeing with younger people, really, they are really stepping up. I think we have a mature group who have been committed to the process for some time. Most people tend to get out and vote. They will vote. But the real challenge is, what's the great thing is what's happening with our younger folk.
Good. That's great to hear.
But when you look at that, though, what about from the pulpit? Are certain generations of church leaders more active in the electoral process than others? Or do you see equal participation across the board, irrespective of your generation? So, Chris, what do you see?
Chris, you want to take that one?
Yes. Okay. So that is an interesting question. Let me say this. I think because of time and the fight, a lot of our senior leaders may just be tired. Not that they want to give up and things of that nature, but I think they're just tired. But then also, there has to be those who are, and not just senior leadership, but older elders and things of that nature, there has to be a bridging of the gap to ensure that things that we want to see in our community, across the church and in various areas, that there is not necessarily just the passing of the baton, but the passing of the wisdom to ensure that what affects us as a people get what needed to be done. And that's from the pulpit, that's from political standpoints, that's from everything, and making sure that we don't repeat history. I think a lot of times certain generations have things that the other generation does not have, but unless we bridge culture and sit down and figure out what those particular things are, especially from pastors and leaders and things of that nature, then we'll have a group of young people in church that go and just do whatever it is that they have to do to ensure that they move the ball forward.
Dr. Logan, can I piggyback on that real quick?
Sure.
I heard Dr. McDaniel mention something not long ago. I think it was at a funeral with Mr. Franklin. And he said something interesting. He said there was a time where the pastors would get together, and whenever something was going on politically, the leadership came together and they would pull those candidates to the table and say, okay, now you drop out. We're going to get behind this person because we want to make sure that this agenda actually fits what the vision is for this season. So that person wouldn't be offended by it, but they would respect the leadership. And I think we're missing that. I think we're missing that because it seems as if our votes are being split so many different ways to where we end up, you know, getting the short end of it. But I just wanted to throw that out there when you talk about connecting the elders with the young people. We need to kind of get back to some of those fundamentals.
That's a good point, Pastor. Mm-hmm. Do you think there's still an opportunity for that? We still have elections coming up. We have the presidential election. We have the mayoral election. And do you think that they're still, and what's going to be necessary in terms of pushing that agenda forward, if there is?
Well, I tell you, if the church doesn't become community churches like they used to, we will lose out on that opportunity. There was a time where the church was the was with really engaging community. And I think that that's the reason why they had that type of respect, because they were community churches, community pastors. And I think that if we get back to that, starting with leadership, we'll get that rapport and respect from the young people, because they'll see us in the community doing work and not just talking about it. And I think they'll trust us enough to begin to move in these other arenas.
Pastor Hathaway, what is your opinion regarding that?
Okay, good. And I'll be brief, but I agree with the other pastors. But I do realize that, you know, there's a challenge. You know, some pastors are probably more involved in the process. They're more politically minded, and some pastors are not. And, you know, there are some things we all can agree on. And what I mean by that is everybody wants a safer neighborhood. Everybody wants jobs for their people, you know, but there are some, we have to realize, I believe, yeah, you need some people that are working grassroots. Now, everybody needs to be in the community, but you also need some people who are sitting at, in the boardrooms.
That's right.
And sitting at the table, because it takes all of that to make it work, to get what we want. Now, the challenge is when we can't see that and we start fighting against each other, when the people who are doing the grassroots work got problems with the people sitting in the boardroom, then we end up with confusion and we don't accomplish the goals that are set for us. But I think God has uniquely blessed us, gifted us, and allowed us to serve in different places. And if we can sort of connect that thing, then I think we can really move forward as a church and a community, especially on some of these civic and social items or issues.
One more question, and we're going to wrap it up, because you guys have said so much today and you've touched on so many important things. So just as a final question, on the other side of the coin, what have we learned from today's events? Given the circumstances of 2020, are there things churches need to be doing differently from what they've done before? In one sentence, can you tell me what do we need to do differently? And I'll begin with Pastor Hathaway.
You know, I think we have to really work on helping our people to understand the political process. We got to understand the process. There is a process. Now, voting plays a major role in that. But there are some other pieces that I think as a church we need to teach on. We need to have maybe we need to have workshops. We need to come together. Community, different churches, different pastors come together and talk about that process. I think that's extremely important. I think that's what's missing.
Pastor Barnes?
I would say one word, intentional. I think if as a church, we need to be intentional with doing what Pastor Hathaway just said. I think educating, I think we suffer for the lack of knowledge. So I would say educating more and being intentional with educating in all these arenas.
Good. Pastor Sands.
To piggyback off both of what the pastors have said, I will say back to the basics, and that encompasses everything that they just said, the holistic approach to doing ministry in today's time.
You know, let me just take this opportunity. You've given us great information today. Your comments have been right on point, and I think you've encouraged us with your words and you've encouraged us with your leadership. And we want to thank each one of you, Reverend Pastor Gary Hathaway of the Greater Tucker Baptist Church, Reverend Marcellus Barnes, pastor of the Grace Point Church, and Reverend Chris Sands, a youth pastor at Olivet Baptist Church. Thank you for your insights. Thank you for your leaderships. And thank you for what you're doing in the community, not only in your congregations, but for the larger communities. I often say our churches need to understand that their ministries are larger than their congregations. And so we're so appreciative to you. And after a short break, we will be back and with the Reverend Dr. Paul A. McDaniel. I call him the Dean. And so after a short break, we'll be back and look forward to his comments as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Now back to Perspectives on the Power of We with your host, Ron Harris, and Warren E. Logan Jr., only on Groove 93.
Hello and welcome back to Perspectives on the Power of We. I'm Ronald Harris, and I serve as Vice President of Corporate Workforce Diversity for Blue Cross Blue Shield of Tennessee. And I'm joined by Warren Logan, President and CEO of the Chattanooga Area Urban League.
Thank you.
This program is presented by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Tennessee in partnership with the Urban League of Greater Chattanooga. And in this session, it's an exciting session because we're joined by Reverend Paul A. McDaniel for the next segment of today's show. Currently, Reverend McDaniel serves as pastor emeritus at Second Missionary Baptist Church. He served for 48 years. He's a veteran civil rights activist and friend of Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. He's a former Hamilton County Commissioner, and I might say parenthetically, he served as chair of that commission as well. He served for over 20 years. He's the recipient of the Tennessee Human Rights Commission's Jocelyn D. Wurzburg Civil Rights Legacy Award in 2018. Thank you, Pastor McDaniel, for joining us on today's program.
Happy to be here and to share with you the best of my ability and experiences.
You know, I often say that Reverend McDaniel is on my Mount Rushmore of ministers. And so we're going to jump right into it, Pastor. Historically, the church has been the center of activism, both in terms of voting and civil rights, for the black community in particular. Can you talk a little bit about the role of church leaders in motivating their communities when you pastored?
Well, I'm part of the history of the black church in terms of the fact that in the black community, so often it was the black minister that had the ear of more people than maybe most folks, and also had maybe some education, some knowledge. If you go back far enough, you will find, limited congregation in terms of literacy. So the church was also the meeting place, and it was a social institution as well. Now, in later years, this has changed to a great extent, but even now, in this day, in this hour, that the church brings together more members of the minority community than any other institution, including football. Yeah. So leaders have a responsibility, a role and a responsibility in sharing the good news to the community, especially the black community, the parishioners, and to also share in other areas of life. And the church has been deeply involved in giving leadership in the struggle for civil rights and social justices, even in the economic and educational struggles, as well as health care and other areas of concern. Maybe not as much now as it was in years gone by, but still, I feel that the clergy among the leaders in terms of the heirs of the community. And so, therefore, we have a responsibility. I like that statement that says, to whom much is given, much is expected. So I think because we have been given this responsibility and this opportunity, then we have a responsibility to share with the community. And that's what I've seen to various degrees in the various communities. In my first community, it was a little different because it was a small community and there were only two churches in the community. We worked more together with all the churches, interracial, whatever.
You know, just to piggyback on that, this is Warren Logan. Just to piggyback on that, Pastor McDaniel's You had indicated, of course, you came, you joined, I believe, Second Baptist in 1966, and you served there for more than 40 years. But during the time of your service, not only Second Baptist, your voice was heard and your face was seen on a lot of the fronts that we're seeing today when it comes to whether it's dealing with the Voting Rights Act and working with the community to ensure that people were signed up and registered to vote, or whether it's dealing with civil rights issues where you were out front. And basically people looked at you to some extent as the broker of peace. But one of the things you were seemingly was doing that were, and correct us if I'm wrong, was seeing that you were pulling pastors together back then. And it was basically one voice that you were speaking from to make sure that not only would we have peace in the community, but we had things like jobs and pastors were working together for education and things of that nature. Do you see that taking place today? And if not, what needs to be done in order for that same type of that leadership to go forth?
Well, I think that we have aspects of that. You see it every once in a while. We've seen it a few months ago when a group was gathered at the courthouse in terms of a what we call an unjust act of the county sheriff, department policeman. And there have been other times that we have come together to share our oneness and our concern, but not as much as it was in the past. I think that maybe more now. Individual churches and pastors are going after their doing their own thing, and therefore we don't have that togetherness in terms of united efforts in a lot of the activities. But I think there's still the possibility of bringing a fair number of pastors together to share common concerns and give leadership to various areas of the community. And this is what I am still looking forward to, even as I sit now in a seat of the retired, and to see that there are ministers rising up and taking this role of leadership, trying to bring ministers together to deal with the needs of the community, recognizing that the church has a unique role in informing the community and speaking for the community. So I think that to some degree that it is still workable, and we see reflections of it from time to time.
Well, you know, Pastor, you just opened the door to my next question, I'll tell you, and it's an important question. So in your opinion, what should that role of the church be today when it comes to voting? Is there anything the church should be doing differently now to motivate and encourage its members to participate in the elections?
Well, we have done this before. You remember, especially in 2008 when Obama was running, the ministers took leadership. Even one time we had a movement, a drive. We all gathered at Tucker and marched and walked over to the Brainerd Center demonstrating our concern for the need to vote and in other ways in assisting in terms of voter registration. Even some years ago, I remember we developed a voter registration project and even had a staff, a funded staff, and we did much in putting people on the roll. But I do agree that voting generally is a very sacred obligation of citizens, a privilege of citizenship, and it is something that we should hold to. and encourage the participation of all of those who are eligible to register and vote. Not to vote is not a protest, even though some say, I don't vote because my vote won't count or whatever. But to not vote really is a surrendering of a obligation of responsibility that people have sacrificed for, even died for, and that we ought not take it lightly. And so this is certainly a significant role that we as ministers ought to play, and we have to work at it, coming together and trying to find common grounds of which we can move in dealing with these needs of our community that are based in the political structure. We cannot ignore that.
Well, one of the things, of course, that you did mention, you know, when we were talking about the election per se, you know, we're right now, of course, on the doorsteps of the presidential election, but right around the corner, of course, we have the mayoral election. So when you talk about leadership per se in the community, both the national level and the local level, what do we need to do to make sure we don't have a number of splintered efforts? Sometimes you have more candidates than you have people to vote. So what should be, in your opinion, what should church leadership be doing to make sure, to the extent possible, that, number one, everybody understands the issues, both nationally and locally, and number two, what do we need to do to maximize the impact of our vote on a go-forward basis, both from the standpoint of the, both, it's not a black issue, it's a white issue. It's a community issue, but from the standpoint of the leadership of the church coming together, what do you think should be done among the pastorate to bring that group together so that that group can further influence the people who are basically executing the vote? So what are the things from a leadership perspective that the church pastors could be doing?
Well, first, I think that we must share that common interest that voting is essential to the well-being of our community and our individual lives. Mm-hmm. It gives us meaning and gives us significance to know that we have the opportunity and the privilege to participate in our government through the voting process. And it is often through the political process that the needs of our community are met. And so that we as pastors and leaders must recognize that we have an obligation as God's servants to do and use our resources and to give of ourselves for those things that will enhance the community and will deal with the needs of all of God's people. For they are all his people, all citizens. They are made in his image. And we are called to, I remember one person emphasizing the fact that we are called to serve each other and to deal with our needs because we are made in the image of God and that these are God's people. God is concerned about their well-being, and we as his servants then also must be concerned about the well-being of his people. And for me then to participate in the political arena is to deal with those resources and to see that justice is done in terms of all of the citizens, all of the people, and they can participate equally, that justice can run through our community. So we need to, I think, as leaders of congregation, leaders in the faith community, that we ought to have that common goal of being stewards of God's manifold grace, and that we are here and we are called to serve people. And to serve people, you have to go through the institutions that we do have.
You know, Pastor. And,
go ahead.
You know, in that previous segment, we spoke to a group of local pastors about encouraging their congregations to vote. And so finally, we'd like to wrap up our conversation today by inviting you to issue a challenge to the faith-based community. So what would you like to say to our local pastors, our local churches, to encourage them to get involved in the electoral and voting process?
Well, I say that we've got to recognize the seriousness of this election, as well as all elections, and the next election, as Ron referenced, the city election, that we have the opportunity to make a difference in the process. And we got to remember that numbers elect folks. And we have to recognize we are minorities, and therefore of ourselves we may not be able to make a great difference. But when we deal in terms of the whole process, it can make a difference. I was reading a chart here. I had a chart that showed that even in the election of 2016, that Trump was elected in places that if black votes had come out to the same margin of other voters, it would have been a difference. Let me just make this reference, that in Wisconsin, Trump won by 23,000 votes, and there were 93,000 blacks who didn't vote. In Florida, Florida was won by 113 votes. There was 379,000 blacks who didn't vote. Pennsylvania, the same, 44,000 he won. 238,000 blacks didn't vote. This just awakened my idea to the fact that voting is essential, and we can become essential even though we're a minority, and we can make a difference if we vote and vote at a higher percentage than our numbers.
Yes,
so I think that what we need to do is to recognize the fact voting is a sacred privilege. Voting is the carrying out of our Christian commitment to our community, and that we as God's people ought to go out and participate in the voting. And this is what I hope that our leaders, not in a selfish way, not in even a partisan way, but in a way that we deal with issues and bring those issues forth to the people and encourage the people to share with others and to use the resources we have. Now, I know there are some prohibitions, and I've been sensitive to that in terms of being partisan. But yet other folks have gotten by having what they call a guide, a voter's guide. Just a suggestion of people who share our interests who are running for an office.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to use all the strategies, the skills, but above all, we got to try to keep the unity. I think that is one of the most disturbing things that here in most of the black communities, we do not consolidate our resources. And even at this time, especially in the coming mayor's race, with all the candidates in it, and all people have a right to run. But then we have the right to organize ourselves in a way that would be more efficient and victorious for the needs of our people and our community. So I would say that we need to get together, and our leadership should get together, put egos behind you, keep the people's need in front of us, and let us consolidate our efforts to make our voices known through our vote.
I would appreciate that. Reverend McDaniels, thank you so much for participating in the program. Thank you so much for your leadership over the years. It has just been phenomenal, the things you've been able to bring to the table. We want to thank our listeners for tuning in today for another segment, and that you will continue to tune in. If you have comments or concerns, just give us a call. And we want to remind our listeners that they not only they've already, if they haven't headed to the polls, remember, head to the polls on November the 3rd. We want to also tell our listeners to ensure that on next month they tune in to our next episodes on Perspectives on the Power of We. We also want to give a thank you to Blue Cross Blue Shield for basically partnering with the Urban League and putting this segment on. Thank you so much, and have a great day. Thank you, Pastor, again.
Let me thank you all for doing this. I think it's good for the community. Keep it up.
Okay.
Thank you, Pastor.
Okay. God bless you all.
You are now listening to the Perspectives on the Power of We with your host, Ron Harris and Warren E. Logan Jr., only on Groove 93.
Thanks for tuning in to the Perspectives on the Power of We, our new limited series brought to you by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Tennessee in partnership with the Urban League of Greater Chattanooga. Come back next week as Ron and Warren will discuss more perspectives on the Power of We. Tune in the last Saturday of the month at 11 a.m. on Groove 93.